Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
And welcome back. I'm Ed Vitagliano, sitting in for Tim Wildman today. I'm joined in studio by my co-host, Lauren Stewart. By the way, folks, I have to tell you, I am mistaken. John Lott is going to be on the show tomorrow. We'll be talking with John.
I miss about talking about guns because I've been wanting to get a gun.
That's right. Have you really?
Well, I had a gun. My dad had a gun, didn't know that I knew where it was. And my little friend visiting in the ninth grade thought somebody was breaking in the house. And I was upstairs putting on my makeup. You know how girls are putting on makeup and we're listening to rock music and stuff. And she goes, Lauren, somebody's trying to break in the house. I'm like, have no fear. And my mother did not even know my dad had any guns. And I knew, I grabbed that thing. I'm like, I got it. I got you covered. And I accidentally fired that sucker.
Oh,
and
my goodness.
It like catapulted all over the room, lodged in my mother's dresser. I remember I looked over at my friend Sally, and she's just sitting there like, it's loud. You know, I mean, she's like, oh. And I look back, I'm like, thank you, Jesus, that I did not hurt us both. And so my dad, as I was growing up, and he got in a lot of trouble, by the way, by my mother.
Yeah.
As I was growing up, like, he would slip me little revolvers to take on trips. Because, I mean, I'm living in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and Virginia Beach, and he's like, and I'm thinking, but I don't know how to use it. So
that's
I'll be like, okay.
Learn.
So I've learned that now. And so I want to know how to use it and to be able to carry one and not be afraid. And Channing and I, our six-year-old little girl, actually, she just turned seven. We were just talking about guns the other day because she's real interested in guns.
Yeah.
And being able to protect ourselves and all that. So I am very interested, and I think a lot of women are interested and are taking more gun classes than ever before.
Well, and I'm all in favor of, now, you know, I'm not going to talk about the kind of weapons that we have, but one of them's, you know, a boom-boom stick that, you know, shotgun. So you know, you fire one of those. You don't want to fire one of those in the house because even if you miss, you're going to kill a neighbor.
Those are like little mini cannons, aren't they?
So
cannonballs.
So I think it's important, especially I'd like to get my wife to a gun range or something and take a gun safety course because
they've got a really good one.
They're very dangerous. And like you said, you can just not paying attention. You pull the trigger and that thing's not going to stop. Mm-hmm. I mean, it'll stop when it hits something.
Mm-hmm.
And it might be a stud in the wall, or it might be a dresser, or it might be. So it's very important that people, you know, get that kind of training. But we'll talk to John Lott tomorrow on the show. So tune in. We'll talk about, kind of the gun control debate. Today we're going to be having Pastor Jim Garlow on to talk about the Trump or Hillary conundrum you were mentioning earlier. When we were talking to Rusty Reno about his book, Resurrecting the Idea of a Christian Society, a lot of Christians are. A lot of Christians are confused.
What do I do?
You know, and it's been a while since there was an actual, honest-to-goodness conservative who was a Christian. That was George Bush. Some people might argue he wasn't as conservative as they'd like, but he was a well-known Christian.
Mm-hmm.
In 2012. In 2008, we had John McCain, who I'm not sure what his religious beliefs are. I think he claims to be a Christian, so that's fine. But he wasn't as conservative as some people liked. Others for conservatives in 2012, they had a Mormon.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then, you know, what about Christians who believe in taking care of the poor? Can you vote for someone like Hillary Clinton, you know? And so a lot of Christians are confused about what they should do.
What's the Christian thing to do?
Some people don't even believe in voting, you know?
What?
Oh, yeah. Some people just don't get involved in the political, you know, system because it's a dirty business. And when I get in conversations with those brothers and sisters,
you just have to walk away.
Well, no,
what
I like to do is I say, well, look, if your roof leaks, you fix it, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, yes. If your transmission's acting up, you take it to the mechanic, right? Okay. If you have a cough that won't go away, you go to the doctor. So if you will take steps to fix your house and fix your car and fix your body, why wouldn't you fix your republic?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
mm-hmm.
you can do that by becoming informed and voting. And so you mentioned it was a good move last hour. Folks, go to afaaction.net. We have a voter's guide that will give you the various positions on issues that are important to AFA, the kind of cultural slash biblical issues with a few others thrown in. And that's not only for the presidential candidates, but it's for Senate races, House races, and many of the state races. You want to find out what the candidates, what their beliefs are, and it's perhaps the most we're very proud of it, the most detailed voter guide out there. So AFAaction.net. Well, our next guest is going to talk about this kind of issue and help us walk through the Trump or Hillary conundrum, and that is...
That's a great word.
Yeah, it's, write that down, man. We're going to use that throughout the program.
Bewildered conundrum.
Bewildered. No stranger to American Family Radio and our network, Pastor Dr. Jim Garlow. He's the senior pastor at Skyline Church in San Diego, California. Pastor Garlow, welcome to the program.
A joy to be on with you. Thank you so much.
Well, I do want to let our listeners know that AFA and AFR is not allowed to either favor or disfavor any particular political candidate, but we do have guests on who have opinions that are very strong, and we allow those guests to speak their mind. And Dr. Garlow, you are one of those. You posted a fairly lengthy and detailed post on August 4th on your Facebook page. So first, tell our listeners how they can read that post or something else you might post on Facebook, and then tell us why you thought it was important to answer or address the question, Trump or Hillary.
Well, they can, if they want to read it, they can go to just Jim Garlow on Facebook. If they scroll down, they'll see a picture of Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. It got picked up by Charisma magazine, Charisma Caucus, and it's now gone to well over 400,000 shares. So it's out there a lot of places. If they just type in Trump versus Hillary, it might even pop up there on that as well. But they can go to the Charisma Caucus, and it's there. But I was asked, it started rather innocently. I didn't intend for it to go wild. I just simply was asked by a lady in Phoenix by the name of Bonnie. She says, I can't vote for Hillary, and I don't want to vote for Trump. What do I do? Give me some advice. So I'd been asked that a number of times, but I just didn't want to ever take time to write anything down. So I thought, well, I'll just write out some things. And I didn't even have it sketched out in my mind all that much, but I began to write it, and then the thing, of course, took off at that point. But if I were just to lay out some of the things that are at stake here, I recognize the struggle, conundrum is the correct word. Most of us supported candidates who were no longer in the race. I supported Huckabee, and then I debated between Rubio and Cruz, and ended up with Cruz, but I'd have been happy with Perry or Santorum or Jindal, or, well, the list goes on. Donald Trump was pretty far down the list for me, but that the option now, if we're realistic, is Hillary versus Trump. And I try to start people with understanding that the party platform, contrary to what some think, really do have value. And they do have some clout. Not as much as we might like, but they do have clout. And the party platforms are diametrically opposed, for starters. I wrote a book just recently called Well First, Biblical Answers to Today's Tough Issues. And I wish every Christian understood that the Bible speaks to all these political issues, whether it be minimum wage, Social Security, national defense. In my book, I cover 30 different, I give the biblical underpinnings to 30 different political issues. And so these party platforms cover, they're either anti-biblical or they're pro-scriptural in their approach. And the Republican is probably the best they've ever had, and the Democrat, from a scriptural standpoint, of actually laying out the principles, is quite frankly probably the worst they've ever had. There's a second thing, and the way that my brain works is we're dealing with two very, very flawed candidates. But as I'm going to give an analogy. As a pastor of a church, if I was dealing with a Trump type or a Hillary type, I'd rather deal with a Trump type any day. And the reason I say that is because his sinning is just blatant and brash. It's just out there. It's just, well, he makes no bones about it. The Hillary type is, he tries to hide it, is cunning, is deceiving. That kind of a person is much more challenged to work with. That won't move very many hearts, but it certainly impacts my thinking. There's another analogy in my own brain. I went through the loss of a wife to cancer 3.5 years ago. I have since remarried, but 3.5 years ago, Carol passed away. And in the 6 years prior, we were battling the cancer, and we were in a pretty severe situation. And one oncologist was objecting to me, Carol and I, looking into some alternative treatment. And I finally said, "Doctor, what is your objection to this alternative treatment?" And he says, "The unknown." I said, "Well, doctor, your known is way worse than their unknown."
Mm-hmm.
And to make the analogy, Hillary's known is, to me, considerably worse than Trump's unknowns. I concede there's some real unknowns with Trump, but Hillary's knowns are considerably worse. A fourth thing in my own mind is the difference between Trump's list of sins and foibles and blunders compared to Hillary's forever list of scandals. The scandalous nature of the Clinton family is beyond anything I have ever seen, and I have watched politics every day since age 8, and I've watched every convention since age 9, and gone to most of them since 1984. Another thing that's encouraging me about Trump is he, little by little, surrounding himself with increasingly good people. That, to me, is encouraging. We have a long ways to go, but that's a huge step in the right direction. My own readout is Trump is right on about 75% of the issues. I wish it was 100, not. Hillary seems to me to be wrong on about, let's say maybe 100% of the issues. Another issue for me is the issue of globalism. I think Trump gets that. That's extremely dangerous. Hillary does not oppose that. I don't know if she even fully understands the implications of it. The issue of not voting is not an option. I think that is a head-in-the-sand approach, and that is not an option for me. I don't think it should be for a follower of Jesus personally. A third-party candidate is a throwaway vote. Another issue for me, Trump is moving increasingly pro-life. Hillary exalts Planned Parenthood for its killing of babies, dismembering of them, and selling the body parts. Trump will really defend the nation, and that's the purpose of government biblically. The number one purpose of government biblically is to defend the nation and restrain evil. Trump wants to defend the nation. Hillary has no grasp, based upon her years as Secretary of State, how to do that. Hillary thinks everything is just fine. I don't. I think America is in extreme trouble. Trump gets that. I think Trump will address the massive government spending. The national debt is a moral, biblical issue with me. It is obscene. It's inappropriate. We're up to almost $20 trillion plus unfunded liabilities. That's a biblical issue. Trump gets that. I pray he'll turn it. Trump also knows that crony capitalism, how evil that is. And ain't evil. He participated in it. He knows how it works. And he's trying to expose that. Now, that's one of the reasons he hated so badly. I think he also understands the overreach of government, severe overreach of government. If the government would stay in its lane and do what it's supposed to do, a government can do what biblically God has ordained it to do. But it's way out of its lane, and he understands that. He also understands religious liberty issues. It's just evaporating. And the freedoms come in threes: political freedom, economic freedom, and religious liberty. They coexist. They rise and they fall together. No nation will have one without the other two long term. Trump seems to understand that. And then the biggie, the Supreme Court appointments. That one is enormous. Trump has listed 11 strong people he will nominate. Hillary's appointments, oh my goodness. It would be the final, the end of America as we have known her. So those are, I recognize they're flawed candidates. If I could, I'd rather have King Jesus. He's still a king, whether he's manifesting yet or not, but the full manifestation of the kingdom hasn't taken place. In the meantime, we're on this planet, and so I land on the side of Trump and will be voting for Trump.
Well, let me offer some pushback on that on behalf of those who are listening who don't like what you just said. So I'm not giving my personal opinion on here. What would you say, Jim, to the Christians out there, very well-meaning, who say, listen, all I hear you saying basically is you're going to vote for the lesser of two evils, but the lesser evil is still evil. What would you say to them?
Well, I've voted in every election since I was able to do so, and I've always voted for the lesser of two evils. Until Jesus is running, the human heart is very evil, according to Jeremiah. It has great capacity for wrongdoing, And we never had a sinless candidate. The only one is Jesus. But he's not on the ballot. So I've always voted for the lesser of two evils. Now, I recognize Trump is far more problematic than many of those I have voted for, but we have never had perfect candidates. And even many times we've had candidates that we thought were so great, they were later and very soon corrupted by the power they got into.
Mm-hmm.
So this thing that we're in is a dicey business. It's a challenge. It's difficult. And we do so. We vote with a healthy level of fear and trembling and say, Lord Jesus, just help us. And then we pray for the candidate. We pray, Lord, there's some indicators that his heart is moving in some right direction. He's not one of us. I make no claims to that. But Lord Jesus, help us as we vote that the evil inclination of every candidate we vote for up and down the ballot, that they will resist that within their heart and not yield to that, and that the Lord will have greater influence over them. We also have had many candidates, many great leaders through the years that are certainly not classically Christian. Winston Churchill, one of the greatest, and what he accomplished was pretty staggering. We wouldn't consider him one of us in that regard either. And there have been many who lived outside the framework of activities and behavioral models that I would want them to, and yet at the same time, they have been used by God. That's God's department. I don't know why he uses any of us, quite frankly.
Right.
If I were God, I'd get rid of all of us and just run it my way. But he somehow chooses to use through people as flawed as I am standing in my pulpit from week to week. So I'm just honored to get to be do anything in his name, even though I likewise am flawed.
Jim, let's address the third-party candidate, because Ed and I were actually discussing this when we first got here this morning, that I think people are kind of thrown going, okay, if I vote for a third-party candidate, is that going to be a wasted vote, a thrown-away vote, like you said? Or, you know, if the third-party candidate happens to be more liberal and people that used to be for, you know, Hillary, or Bernie Sanders,
Sanders,
that don't want to vote for Hillary, maybe that will help the Trump campaign. I think people are confused about this. Is it a throwaway vote? And I've heard a lot of Christians saying that they're going to write in. And I think it's important that we address that, because we as Christians, I feel like, need to come together. What does the Lord say? And that's why people like what you've written. You're laying it out from a biblical principle, from, you know, what you're feeling as a godly man and a pastor, and saying, this is what I see. And people are going, oh, okay, well, that makes sense to me. But that's kind of tripping people up, the third-party candidate.
Well, I look at things through a historical lens. My PhD is in church history.
Mm-hmm.
And you watch the difficulty of decisions that believers have to make in the scope of history from time to time. I recognize there are times when it's noble and right to take an action of that nature. I could make a defense at times for that. But my personal opinion as it relates to this, given the dynamic of the crisis nature that we're in, is that is not a wise move. And the reason for that is the destructive nature of the Clinton agenda, Clinton-Obama continued agenda. I recognize AFA and AFR can't take a position and are not, but I am. And I would contend that the ongoing nature of Hillary's leadership would be absolutely catastrophic in so many respects to biblical issues in this land. So I don't think that's an option. I've listened carefully to Gary Johnson and William Weld. I've listened to libertarian candidates. I don't find them to be attractive at all from a scriptural standpoint. In fact, I, quite frankly, on quite a number of issues, they're every bit as bad as Hillary. Writing in something of this nature, writing in a candidate, boy, I'm going to be misunderstood on this one, but to me, that borders on the spirit of stupid. That may sound noble. It may sound good. That just is not realistic in terms of having any kind of impact upon the culture in which we care. When Donald Trump met with 1,000 evangelicals, he was hesitant to meet with us, and we were hesitant to meet with him. And there's been numbers of small groups of evangelicals who've now met with him. And there is a slow and a steady transitioning in some healthy directions that if it were to continue, and I can't guarantee it will, but if it were to continue, could bode well for his candidacy. Now, I'm not defending everything he stands for. I'm certainly not defending everything in his life. Not at all. But this, we have to be extremely realistic of what we're facing with a Hillary Clinton candidacy. This would be catastrophic. And everybody who's listening, you, your children, and your grandchildren would, based upon Supreme Court appointments alone, would never have the opportunities in America that we have enjoyed for these last several hundred years.
Jim, we are down to the end. Just 2 minutes remaining. Donald Trump is behind in the polls, seems to be struggling to get his message across. Hillary's spending a lot of money on ads to define him. How do you see the rest of this time playing out? Do you think Trump will have a comeback, or do you think that his convention bounce was an aberration?
Well, almost everybody gets a convention bounce. As I indicated at the outset, I've watched every convention since I was age 9, and I'm not a young man. And so convention bounces are very, very normative. You have to really botch up the convention bad not to get a convention bounce. So I knew he would, and I knew Hillary would, and of course they both did. He's going to have to be more disciplined in the things that he says. Everybody knows some of the things that he says are just off the reservation, and that is a harmful fact. He also is clearly aware it's two against one. He has to take on the entire media onslaught. When she makes a serious misstep or has policy challenges or another scandal gets unfolded, it barely gets the mention. But when he makes a foible, it really is the focus for the next 72 hours of the cycle. So he's going to get it. For me, on my end, I'm trying to talk to people the way I'm talking here. And then secondly, I'm calling people to prayer and to fasting. We plan the Saturday before to have a major prayer event, and then we're calling people, it would start around September 29th, into a 40-day fast. Now, this is not just for Trump. This is a 40-day fast for our nation. It's a 40-day fast of passion and love for the Lord. It's a calling for a renewal, an outbreak of revival. I think of Hezekiah's revival in the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, oh, Lord, the good reforms that he brought, Lord, we need a Hezekiah in this moment. If not, maybe Lance Wallnau's right. He says, Trump is a Cyrus. At least he would let my people go in that sense and release them from Babylon. And I know I've mixed metaphors with Egypt there, but we'll let him go from Babylon and go back, and so he becomes the new Cyrus. But my point is that I think this is a time for a very calm conversation in contrast to what's going on around us, and prayer and fasting, and very carefully rational thinking that has to have the accuracy of a surgeon's scalpel.
Jim, we are out of time. Why don't you give our folks your Facebook page, so they can read this Facebook post from last Thursday.
Jim Garlow, or they can go to Charisma Caucus online or Charisma Magazine online, type in my name and Donald Trump, and I think it'll pop right up for them. Or they go to Jim Garlow on Facebook, and they'll find it.
Pastor Dr. Jim Garlow, senior pastor at Skyline Church in San Diego, California, frequent guest on Today's Issues. Pastor Garlow, thank you so much for being our guest.
A joy being on with you, my friend.
Well, folks, that's all the time we have for today. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman. Lauren Stewart has been my guest. Lauren, thank you so much.
It was good to be here.
My co-host, not just guest. And folks, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Plenty of great programming straight ahead and throughout your day. Lord willing, we'll see you tomorrow. Bye for now.